We'll be taking our text from, Mark chapter 4. Jesus said, "The thief comes to kill and to destroy and to steal. I'm come to give life and life abundantly." We know from what he tells us in the 5th chapter of John, from where we read last evening, speaking of both the spiritual and the physical resurrection, that this life comes by hearing the word of God. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say to you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Life is received in hearing the voice of the Son of God." This everlasting life, which is its duration, this abundant life, which is its quality, is lived in hearing the word of God, hearing the voice of the Son of God. And so we spoke to you last evening on the importance of making certain that you hear. Many hearing do not hear. To hear is to understand and to comprehend and to receive and to respond to the Word of God. We need to take heed to who we hear. All that ever came before Christ were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. But many people hear nothing but thieves and robbers. They will listen to no one except someone who's trying to rob them and abuse them and use them. Many hear nothing but the preachers of unrighteousness. Any preaching you hear other than the preacher of righteousness is a preacher of unrighteousness. And most of the preaching you hear is not in church houses. Most of the preaching you hear is what you read in the newspaper, what you hear on the radio, what you see on television, what your neighbor tells you, the griping and bellyaching, the howling and yowling of the demonstrators and the rioters and the activists. You hear that preaching all day long. Make sure that's not what you hear. Many hear nothing but false teachers and false prophets. Not in spite of the fact that they are false prophets, but because they do. Because they teach lies, because they allure through lusts of the flesh. Now we come tonight and we want to speak to you from the words of in our Lord from the 4th chapter of Mark in verse 24 and 25. And he said unto them, "Take heed what you hear. For with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you. And to you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath." Take heed what you hear. I want to point out a few things in the beginning that ought to raise red flags immediately when we begin to hear them. Take heed what it is that you are hearing. We ought to take heed especially when we're hearing something new. Now, some of you thought, I wonder what Brother Merle is going to preach this time. And I looked through all the recent times that I've been here to make sure that I didn't preach something that I've preached here before. You really wanted me to bring you something new, didn't you? Now, will you be disappointed when the meetings are over and you did not learn some new thing? Well, let me read you something from the 17th chapter of Acts. Paul had a little time on his hands at Athens. He's waiting for his companions. And his spirit got stirred up, and he went to the synagogue, verse 7, got in an argument with the Jews, with the devout persons in the market daily that met him. And verse 18 says, certain philosophers of the Epicureans and the Stoics encountered him. Some said, what will this babbler say? Another, he seems to be setting forth strange gods because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine, this new doctrine. Now, that's the only reason they were interested in it. It was a new doctrine. Whereof thou speakest is, for you bring strange things to our ears, and we would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or hear some new thing. Now, I submit to you that the Epicureans and Stoics and Athenians have not perished from the face of the earth. That there are multitudes of people, and especially in the realms and ranks of Christendom, from which we may not immediately excuse ourselves, who fit into this category, who are interested in nothing else but to hear some new thing. Now, a new thing has to be a lie. Has to be. Got to be. And the reason for that is quite simple. God's word is ancient. It's old. Yes, it's old. We find that principle in the 78th Psalm. The testimony that God has established in Israel and has been brought on down to us. Here it is, Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, hear to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth, for I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. How old are they? Well, we heard it from our fathers. They told us. And we're going to tell the same thing to our children. We will not hide them from their children, showing the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even to the children which should be born and which should arise and declare them to their children. That is, if you have anything to declare to your children, it's going to be something old. Something that you got from your fathers, that they might set their hope in God. Jeremiah 6 and 16 tells us to seek the old paths. Now, I need to spend just a little while in clarifying this. There are some things that some people think is old, but does not qualify for old. For instance, someone made this statement, "I like the old hymns, the old-timey songs." You know what he was talking about? He's talking about those Stamps Baxter songs and those little paperback books that was published in the 30s. The 1930s. That ain't old, that's new. What you think is the old gospel that Grandpa used to preach might not be 100 years old yet. Something 500 years old is something new. Something 1,000 years old is some new thing. You're going to have to go back a whole lot further than that for it to be ancient enough to qualify. In fact, there isn't anything new if you get out of the book of Genesis. Everything that qualifies as the testimony of God is found there. Even this part of the Bible that's called the New Testament. Wow. It came to Abraham 430 years. Before Moses got the Old Testament down from Mount Sinai. Isn't that right? It's old. Oh, you go all the way back to the book of Genesis. If you think the law and grace controversy is something new, well, you go back to Genesis and what we got? Fig leaves versus blood. You still got works versus grace. It's all the way back there. Nothing new. And so, we have to recognize that religious traditions of a few hundred years ago are not necessarily old. They may be some new things. Also, we have to be careful on what we call new. It is not necessarily some new thing because you haven't heard it before. I think it's Vance Havner who said, "We do not need something new. Probably what we need is something so old, if anyone started preaching it, they would think it was something new." Ralph Barnard was in a church up in the mountains several years ago. He'd been dead several years now. And he was having some difficulty getting a hearing. Everybody was hearing some new thing. And there was about to be a riot in the church. And the deacons had a meeting after that. And they were about to close it down and run the preacher off. And one man there said, "You fellas better wait a little bit on what you're doing. That fella is preaching the gospel. You all think it's new because you never heard the gospel before." And so, if you have not heard this thing before, you might ought to consider it a little bit. Think about it some. Pray about it some. At least be like the noble Bereans and check it out in the Bible. It may be so. This happened to me several years ago, something like that. I was called upon to preach during a Thanksgiving conference before supper on a Thursday afternoon. And the whole place was full of preachers who'd come to hear another preacher. They didn't come to hear me. But I managed to get on the program and had the big audience, and I had a little sermon that I'd been preaching around in different churches and hadn't had a bit of trouble with it. Of course, a fellow told me later the reason I didn't have any trouble with it, folks just didn't understand what I was saying, and those preachers did. But when I got through preaching, those fellows were so mad they wouldn't even go eat. Now, I want you to know preachers are upset when they won't go eat in supper time. I was a little hesitant to get off the platform. The camp director, he had to go answer the telephone during the message, and he was sitting there with his mouth hanging open. And when he come back, he pulled the tape off and wouldn't let nobody get it until he could hear it again. And he told me later, he said, "Conrad, I don't have any idea what that was you were preaching." But he said, I never heard it before. And if I never heard it before, it sounds to me like something new. And if it's something new, it must not be the truth. Well, he was thinking right about that. He was thinking right about that. But it wasn't anything new. It was just that we are in such a sorry evangelical state. I don't suppose there's ever been a generation of Christendom as ignorant as this one. That it's entirely possible to go in to a church that's been established for a long time and introduce the gospel, and everybody's there thinking it's something new. But it isn't. It just has not been heard before. Also, we should recognize this. Oh, and that is not usually a comforting word. Oh sounds wearisome, tattered, frayed, outdated, archaic. Old is not necessarily worn or outdated. Everything that man makes and everything he produces and all that he comes up with corrupts and decays, and therefore we get accustomed to thinking everything that old is wore out and useless, because we're accustomed to thinking with the trinkets and trash of this present life. But that which comes from the hand of God, from the mouth of God, that which emanates from the divine breath, never, never tarnishes, never grows old, never outdated. The basic issues of reality, the same earth, same depravity, same kind of man, as Stephen said, and he made his defense, as your fathers did, so do you. Your fathers were wicked. They killed and murdered the prophets. Which of them did not stain their blood with the prophet's death? And you're just like them. Man hasn't changed. Society has not changed. Truth has not changed. Redemptive purpose has not changed. Sin is still sin. With as much effort as modern philosophy has made to eradicate the idea of good and evil, it still persists. And right is still right and just. Judgment is to come. These things do not change. Nor is old, meaning that it is redundant and wearisome. Heard that before. Simply because something is repeated and it comes around again, that it's wearisome and redundant. Now, let me give you two or three illustrations of that. What are you doing now? All of you. Everybody's sitting in here. One thing every one of you are doing, you're sitting there breathing. How long you been doing that? What are you breathing? Same old stuff? Tired of it? Had enough of it? Don't you know that's old air you're breathing? It is probably passed through a whale's lungs. Someone did some calculations one time concerning how much air was on the earth. How much air it took to fill her lungs, how much time it passed for all the air that's on the earth to go through everybody's lungs. And they calculated that right now you could be breathing the same air that Caesar breathed his last breath with before he died when Brutus murdered him. You may be breathing the same air with which Whitfield enunciated that glorious gospel in the open fields, or the same air with which that notorious slave trader did his profane cursing. But same air, been purified. God keeps refreshing it. The water that you drink, where do you suppose that's been? Well, you can do some speculation on that. But same old water. And you can't live without it. Wouldn't you like to have something besides air to breathe? Listen, this old stuff about eating beefsteak, you know, old cow. Aren't you tired of that? Why don't you quit it? How about some snails and grubs and grasshoppers and lizards, huh? Something new. Wouldn't you like that? No. The fact that it's old does not mean it's unpleasant or distasteful. If it's the best, if it's the excellent, we would have nothing but this. And is not this what he said? The words that I speak unto you, they're spirit and they're life. Once again, I remind you those rhetorical questions of the Apostle Paul from the third chapter of Galatians. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing? He that works miracles and ministers the Spirit to you, does he do it by you doing some mystical mumbo-jumbo, some ritual, something like that, or by the hearing of faith? And so, hearing the same old thing. Take heed if we're hearing some new thing. Here's another time we need to take heed what we're hearing. We need to take heed what we are hearing when we like what we're hearing. When we're enjoying this. Now, I don't know whether else, some of you look like you're enjoying this. Maybe you ought to check up. Why are you enjoying this? Why are you liking that? One passage from the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 33. Verse 30. Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee or of thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, everyone to his brother, saying, come and hear what is the word that cometh from the Lord. And come, then they come unto thee as the people come in. Now, isn't that nice? Here's a preacher in town, and everybody's talking about that preacher. And say, you need come hear him. And it works. They come in. Don't you wish that would work in Kirksville? You'd have to knock out some walls around here, wouldn't you? Come hear this fella. And says, here they come. And the people come, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do them not. Now they're enjoying this. Isn't that amazing? That sometimes people enjoy hearing the preacher or hearing someone speak because it's a pleasant sound and it comes across nicely and it's in entertaining circumstances. I don't know if I mentioned this to you, but There's a preacher friend of mine who has a radio, pardon me, a television ministry, and he's a good preacher, got a good, well-modulated voice, presents himself well, and he preaches a gospel, sound gospel of Jesus Christ. And there was a wealthy lady who, in her will, left her estate to be divided between him and, you know who else? Oral Roberts. Now, what do you think she was hearing? Well, she certainly was not hearing the content and had no idea and not even the least inclination of obeying what she was hearing. She just liked it. So many times you may be liking it, enjoying it, simply because you're not paying any attention to it. You're not understanding it. You just missed it. Sometimes we like what we're hearing because it amuses us. It's foolishness. It's simply high-grade religious entertainment. And there is manifold curses in this thing of religious entertainment, which amuses us. It is foolishness, the occupation of fools. It's no more of no more value than a sitcom, which is the height of wasting your time. It energizes the flesh. It obscures the awe and the knowledge and the consciousness of God, and causes whatever truth we may have in our conscience to slide back into the dimness of the background. When we are enjoying what we hear, sometimes it may be those things that do not humble us, but rather puff us up. I don't know about you, but I have caught myself being greatly impressed and delighted with what I was hearing a man say, for no other reason than the fact that he was saying something that agreed with some pet theory that I had, which had no merit other than the fact that it was my idea. And I liked that because it made me feel big. This fellow is smart. He's the smartest man I've heard. He agrees with me. Now, that's frightening when you find yourself appreciating something simply no more than it puffs you up with pride. Sometimes people hear a person whose fiery rhetoric so inspires them because it is evident that he hates the same kind of people they hate, that it enforces us in our prejudices and our ungraciousness. Something that challenges and simply stimulates the flesh. Many times people like what they hear because it is silencing the sting of conscience. There are some words in Isaiah chapter 30 that seem almost unreal that they should be enunciated, that anyone would have the gall to say things like this. And we might think that no one would ever really outrightly say something like that. In Isaiah 30, verse 9, this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits, tell us lies. I have had at least three men speak to me on this wise. One of them said something like this, and he didn't tell it to me, he told it to someone else. I don't like the way Brother Merle preaches. Why? He makes things too personal. He makes you feel like He's talking to you personally and individually. It makes me very uncomfortable. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to use ambiguous language. You're supposed to present it in such a way that it will slide easily past you to the next fellow. Another said, and he told us this as he left the church, the standards are too high. Nobody can attain to them. You're not going to ever have much of a church like this. Well, we didn't have anything to do with the standards. I readily admit they're too high. That's what the gospel is all about. But one other fellow outstripped the others far more. He was as honest as this fellow right here. And he said this. He said, y'all preach the gospel too straight. Didn't say he preached a false gospel. He just says you preach it too straight. He said, I like it watered down a little bit. I'm telling you the truth. This is what he said. He said, I don't like it that straight. I'd rather you beat around the bush a little and water it down. I can't hack it. And he wasn't smiling. He wasn't laughing. He wasn't mad. He just telling us the truth. I couldn't handle it. So when we are hearing that which does not sting, which salves our conscience, which does not bite, which does not prick, which does not cut, which simply makes us feel comfortable, take heed when we like what we're hearing. One other thing tonight that we need to take heed of, it ought to raise a flag, is when we are hearing the commandments of men. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8, verse 7. You hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draws nigh to me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, for in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. So when we are hearing the commandments of men, which are being taught instead of or as doctrines. Well, what is the difference between doctrine and the commandments of man? We are not told to teach commandments of men. We are told to preach doctrine, and that sound doctrine. Doctrine is an objective truth. A commandment or a legitimate commandment would be a commandment which would arise out of that doctrine. For instance, here is the doctrine of God. What is the objective truth? God is sovereign. God is immutable. God is holy. God is changeless. God is the just judge of all the earth. This is the doctrine of God. The commandment that would arise out of that, which would not be a commandment of man, but a commandment of God, which would be, you must love this God with all of your heart and all of your strength. You must not have any other gods before you. These are commandments. The other is the doctrine. Now, when men teach these commandments of men, it is because they have a heart which is distant from God. That's the cause of these commandments of men. Distant hearts. This passage comes from Isaiah chapter 29. When a person has nothing to say to you except do this and do that for various reasons, you can be pretty sure this fella has no concept and nearness to God. In Isaiah 29 and verse 13, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near to me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me. No knowledge of God. Regulations, therefore, become a substitute for the reality of the living God. And that is poor, poor fare. We're talking about hearing something that gives us life. And we're told in the Bible that the law and the letter doesn't give life, but kills. This will not minister life. It will minister to us death. The effect of these doctrines of man is a fabricated doctrine, a patchwork of man's standards and convictions and rules. There's no doctrine at all, no teaching at all, nothing but husk. Water, not wine, dross, not gold, nakedness, not clothes, and death instead of life. Not only that, but there is a synthesized. I better try that again. A synthetic fear of God. That is something that has been put together that isn't real. You see this in verse 13 of Isaiah 29. Their fear toward me is taught by the precept of man. Now, if you don't know God, if God isn't real to you, if God isn't present, if He has no reality to you, then men try to hold religious power over people by creating, on the one hand, a God who is a club to intimidate people, or a God who is a Santa Claus to bribe people. If you don't do this, God's going to kill you. If you do that, God's going to get you. Or if you act good, God will bring you some goodies and bring you some pretties. Now, when you're hearing this sort of thing, the commandments of man, using a synthetic fear of God that's just taught of man, my, oh my, you talk about putting the fear of God in your heart. You don't know anything about the fear of God until God puts the fear of God in your heart. It's His presence Himself. Now, I learned this when I was a little child. My mother didn't have to call me aside and tell me, now, you see that big man that comes in the house every once in a while? That's your daddy. And if you don't act right, if you don't do right, he's going to get you with that razor strop hanging up there. My sister didn't have to pull me aside and say, now, if you act real good now, Daddy will bring you some goodies and so on. No, I had a personal relationship with my daddy. I was acquainted with that razor strop over there. I was also acquainted with his arms and his voice and his comforts. I didn't have to be taught to fear my daddy or love my daddy. He taught me that himself. Now, when we have men coming and we're hearing these commandments of man that are taught for doctrines, a substitute for doctrine, all it is going to bring us to is pretending lips, makes hypocrites of us. We'll be using scripture that mean nothing to us, learning by rote, and our integrity is destroyed. An empty worship. In vain do they worship me. So let us take heed what we are hearing. When we are hearing the true word of God, going back to our text in Mark chapter 4, the fourth chapter of Mark. And I want to read the entire context now. Verse 21. And he said unto them, is a candle. Let me read it as a lamp. This is the old King James. Is a lamp brought to be put under a bushel or a basket or under a bed and not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what you hear. With what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you, and to you that hear shall more be given. For he that hath to him shall be given, and he that hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. My nearest recollection of hearing someone preach on this particular passage put it in the realm of Christian giving. With whatever measure you give out, the same measure will be measured to you again. But he's not talking about Christian giving here. He's talking about hearing. Still talking about that. What's happening when we are hearing the true Word of God? Now, up until this point, what I've said, it's been negative. We're hearing some new thing. We're hearing something that we're enjoying for the wrong reason. We are hearing the commandments of men. But when we are hearing the true Word of God, Jesus tells us what's happening to us. We are being brought light. Now that doesn't mean too much to you who've never lived in a house that did not have electric lights in every room, and all you had to do is flip on the switch. Most of the time, all the lights in every room ain't on anyway. You don't ever sit in the dark. But if you're in a house with nothing but lamps, where there's maybe five rooms and two or three lamps, if you're not in a room where a lamp is, you're in the dark. And if you're going to do anything, you need some light. You can't see anything unless someone brings you some light. The Bible speaks about, foretells the coming of Jesus Christ by saying, they who sat in darkness have seen a great light. You just don't experience darkness too much. You got street lights out there. You can't even see the stars. You got lights around you all the time. But before the advent of so much lighting everywhere, this meant so much. You are being brought light. Light is being brought to us. Precious, elect privilege. Especially in the fact that he said it was previously hidden. Jesus says in another place, blessed are your eyes that see what you see. Blessed are the ears that hear what you hear. For prophets and priests and kings down through the ages have earnestly sought to see them and didn't see them and you see them. Sought to hear them that you hear them. Again, he said, in response to why are you teaching in parables? Because it is given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Light is being brought to you personally. Ha! Isn't this wonderful? God's sent me some light, and he brought it to me. This is my life. Come here. Took it on my bed here. Look at this box back here. This is mine. You can't have it. This is light that's mine. Well, light is one commodity. There may be other. Light is one commodity which is not diminished to its owner, he who possesses it, in the least if he shares it with 1,000 other people. They can soak up as much of your light as you are and have taken none of your own. Is not light therefore brought to put it on a lampstand? Now, if we want to follow the typology in the Bible, when you get over to the book of Revelation, the Bible tells us what the lampstands are. That, where is it? It's the churches. He says those seven lamps are the churches, Christ in the midst of them. Is that light then that's being brought to us when we are hearing the true Word of God? Not to be hidden, but to be exhibited, not covered up. It must reveal what we hear. And that doesn't necessarily mean it makes us all preachers. Certainly he's talking to those who all of his people who hear the Word of God. How do you put it on a lampstand? Well, our Lord tells us, let your light so shine before men that they may hear you preaching. No, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's the way you put it on the lampstand. It's this matter of responding and displaying and exhibiting, letting your light shine. Now he tells us to do that, this warning. Take heed what you hear. Did you not receive that? Did you not receive light in order that it might be put on a lampstand and exhibited? What if you don't do that then? Lest you hear no more. The measure in which we shine that light in our works, in our deeds, in our life, the measure in which we dispense this light that has been given to us is the same measure that we get some more. What a wonderful, glorious privilege it is. It is true that the more we give of our financial resources, he does take care of us. Promises to do that. But how much more this is true in this spiritual realm of light given unto us. Oh, we get pygmied and sit in the dark so often because we have heard and have been poor, stingy, disobedient stewards of that which we have heard and have stopped. And we hear no more. But if you go on down a little further, and he says, he that hath not from him shall be taken, even that which he hath. You hear the truth of God's word. Now let me tell you a principle here. Truth of God's word is going to challenge you. You heard that axiom, no pain, no gain. Well, that's supposed to be in stretching your muscles, but it's true in the spiritual sense. It's going to cost you. It's going to take a risk to respond and take the step and go on with this. You balk at that. And after a while, you'll not only fail to hear the voice of the Son of God anymore, but it won't be long before you lost what you did hear, and you won't even believe that anymore. This is the step to apostasy and unbelief. And the Bible speaks not uncommonly of people who walked with God and went a long ways and after a while walked no more with them and went away. And I've lived long enough to grieve over many who once walked in the light and walked with God but now don't even believe what they once believed. That's according to the Word of God. From him shall be taken away even that which he has. And so we have this great and precious privilege of giving out that light. Some of you, I know, have heard me give this testimony, or whatever you might call it, some time ago, but some of you haven't, and I'm gonna say it again. A long time ago, a dear preacher friend who's, and I'll not give you his name, he's already gone to be with the Lord now, and he knows better than what he told me at that time. He told me this, said, Brother Merle, he says, it seems that the Lord has gifted you with the ability to get at God's word God's truth and write it down in such a way that the saints can get at it and understand it. In other words, he was saying you seem to have a gift to write in a way that helps people. Now he said, let me give you some advice. This is an old preacher. I'm a young fella. I'm a young preacher. Yeah, I used to be. He said, don't ever put any of your good sermons down in print. Because when you do, people will buy the book and they'll read your sermons. And then you're done for. You won't have anything to preach anymore. I'm telling you the truth. That's what he told me. And I understand his thinking. I'm sure glad I did not take his advice. I found the opposite to be true. That the quicker I can get rid of something, publish it, whoosh, here it comes. Been writing these gatepost articles, four of them a year, for 18 years. And just about every time I write one, I say, well, this will probably be the last one. I ain't got nothing else. Oh, no. Get it out. Spill it, all of it, everything. Empty the shelves. Liquidate the merchandise. He'll restock it. Now he has one other thing here about this hearing of the Word of God. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, verse 26, as a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day. I planted some sweet corn, Brother John. 2 weeks, hadn't come up yet. Well, I wanted to go out there and dig around and see what was happening. What's happening to my sweet corn I put out there in the ground? Well, he says this is the way you do it. You don't mess with it. You put it in the ground, forget about it. Oh, it's those scroungy looking seed. When they come up, that ground, reckon it was ready. Was the temperature there right? Has it had enough moisture? Well, you put that seed in the ground. You know what's going on? That old dried up dead thing? Could anything live from that? He puts the seed in the ground. And he should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow, and he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself. First the blade, then the ear, and after that the full corn in the ear. It has been my privilege over the years, a few times, to get into churches that were, in Jesse Norris's terms, full of wild cows. Now, you know what a wild cow is? Wild cows, one has been raised out in the woods, never eat anything but sawbriars and weeds and leaves and stuff like that, and doesn't have the slightest idea what feed is. You put them in a feedlot and put some feed there, they won't even come around it. Never seen anything like that before. Well, almost invariably when I'd go into a church like that, people would be at the best in a state of shock. Where did this guy come from? Where did you find him? What on earth is he talking about? He doesn't seem very loving. Things like that. It's just a dud. I mean, just nothing. Just bombed out. Most of the time, that was the last of it. But sometimes there would be a pastor there, or someone who'd heard something, or a few saints there, and maybe I'd get to come back in a couple of years. Or something like that. Same people. I'd be preaching the same thing. And those folks would say, hey, he's not like he was last time. This fellow's got a lot better. Say, I understand what he's saying now. I wonder why he didn't preach like that before. They don't realize what's happened. That in spite of themselves, the word of truth got into hearts. And they driving along one day or working one day, and a thought come to their mind, and they thought of it themselves. But the word of truth was there. I look around at some of you, and I remember when I first saw you. Oh. But I see you now. And I wonder how. It is that seed, that word. It just gets in us. It roots. And it changes. And it grows. And we grow. And we live. Amen. Right.